Hello, and welcome to SIM Radio here on the Sisters in Music Network. It's Monday Music Madness, and you're tuned in to Mixing It with Nikki Chris. This is Nikki, and in case you don't know anything about me, I'm a singer-songwriter from Raleigh, North Carolina. My show celebrates women in the music and entertainment industry, providing an avenue for them to showcase their talents. Our motto, Sisters in Music, Together We Are Stronger. My guest today is a singer-songwriter originally from Chicagoland who splits her time between playing with her band in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin and Nashville, Tennessee, where she performs as a solo songwriter. Nicknamed Hummingbird as a young child, she is certainly a testament to her growing reputation as a melody-driven songwriter. It's a great thrill to have her on my show. Please welcome Mackenzie O'Brien. Welcome to Mixing It, Mackenzie. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
That's awesome. Let's kick things off with a little background about yourself. Can you tell us how you got your start in music and when you knew you wanted to pursue music as a career?
That's a very good question. I would say I got my start in music like right after I graduated high school, and I started performing at open mics like locally in the area. And I was so nervous, but as soon as I started that really gave me the confidence to really pursue it as a career. And I got to be able to be seen by other people who wanted me to play at their coffee shop or their restaurant. So that's how I really got my start. And as far as always wanting to be in music, I would say forever. I can't even picture a time like when I didn't want to go into it.
I think a lot of us are like that. I've noticed that a lot of artists that I talk to, including myself, it's one of those things that you started very, very young and you always knew that that was your calling, so to speak, or where your true passion was and your true heart was. So I can certainly relate to that. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things that you kind of are like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do for the rest of my life. It's a feeling that you get.
Yeah, definitely. I probably suppressed it for a long time, too, because I'm like growing up wanting to go into music. It's not really a normal thing. People want you to go to college, have like traditional career. And I thought that's what I had to do for a while. But then I realized I'm like, I will regret it for the rest of my life if I don't actually try it.
And that's a great philosophy to have, and I envy that you were able to do that. I took the more traditional route for quite some time and did the college and the day job thing. So I definitely envy taking the challenge or being strong enough to say, you know what, this isn't for me, and I want to do music. So kudos to you.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with the traditional job route either. It's just I don't think I could ever do that well. I wasn't very good at school. I felt like part of me like had no choice. I'm like, well, I'm not really good at anything else, so I'll give this a try too.
Oh, but it's great. It's awesome. And I think you definitely made the right decision based upon the music that I have listened to and some of the things that I've read up about you. So I definitely think that you've made the right choice. I'm probably going to touch on a little bit something that might be a little bit sensitive, but I know that you recently became single after being engaged. Was this impacted by your career or split time locations? Because I do know that you do split your time between two different locations. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think why I love your radio show so much is that it caters to women and, you know, women wanting to pursue their own passions too and empowering them. And I feel like if you're a woman and you're wanting to pursue this career and you're career driven, it can be really difficult to find somebody to actually back you up on that. And well, like, I don't think he's a bad guy at all. He was, you know, he was good to me, but then for a while it felt like he was kind of, you know, trying to suppress my career a little bit, wanting me to get another job. And I just couldn't do that. I couldn't let go of just fully focusing on my career. And it just turned out that we didn't want the same things. I think he wanted another girl who had another job, who could put more, you know, money towards a place or something like that. But I just can't do that right now. Everything, all my life is just devoted to music. It's been very hard to find the right person who will back me up on that.
You know, it's very interesting because a lot of the things that you're mentioning mimic a little bit some of the challenges that I've had throughout my career. I actually didn't have family support. And it's indicative of the music business is really hard. And you do have to have a passion to keep going, because I do think there's a stigma around being a performing songwriter or doing music full time, whether it be composer for TV and film. You know, one of the reasons why I started doing this podcast is to not only provide an avenue for people to showcase their talents, but to also have the conversation and elevate the conversation of music is a career and it's very, very hard work, especially if you're just starting out and you're trying to get recognized and trying to build a team around you to support you. In my opinion, you're an entrepreneur. We are all entrepreneurs. We are all running and managing our own business. And it's if people started and if people started looking at it from that perspective rather than, oh, you're just a musician or you're just a singer songwriter, it's like, no, I'm running a business. Every song
and
that
people
gets
think
created
your life is so fun too all the time. It's hard. It's really hard.
It is,
that's for sure.
It is. I'm sorry that you had to go through, you know, what you did with your ex-fiancé, but, you know, honestly, you're probably better off, right? Because you want to find
somebody. Yeah, I think we're both better off without each other.
Yeah.
We just didn't want the same things at all. And I think what a lot of people don't realize, too, is that, yeah, I gig out every weekend, and that's how I make money. But during the week, I'm also doing other stuff, like I'm writing, I'm having lessons, I practice with my band, or I'm doing photo shoots, vocal lessons. It really is kind of like a full-time job. And yeah, I do have a lot of downtime, but I'm usually doing something, posting on Instagram, writing music. So I think a lot of people don't realize that, too.
No, they don't. And that is one of the reasons why Natalie and I started Sisters in Music, is to showcase the amount of work that goes into managing a career, or at least facilitating a career in the music and entertainment industry, because it is a full-time job, and it does take a lot of time, and I don't think people realize that. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is. It is what it is. I mean, I didn't realize it either when I was getting into it, but man, it is. Nothing happens overnight. You got to be very persistent. And I think that's the key of a lot of people making it this day and age. They've been working at it for some of them over 10 years, 7 years. You just have to work on it for a really long time.
You do, definitely. Well, we'll get into your songwriting in a little bit, because I do definitely want to talk about that. But I wanted to ask you what it's like to write and record with some of the top established writers in places such as Nashville and Texas.
Writing with somebody is kind of like, a lot of people say this, it's kind of like dating. So you have to meet the person, you have to click with them. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, well, then you'll just never write with them again. But I have had some really cool opportunities to write with some very established songwriters in Nashville. And one of them was Chris Wallen. I actually won it through a contest on Reverb Nation, which I think is
really
awesome for musicians. Yeah, like, I mean, you can get so many opportunities, for example, this one. And so I was able to go down to Nashville, and I met with Chris. For those of you who don't know Chris Wallen, he wrote the song Don't Blink by Kenny Chesney. He wrote That's Something to Be Proud Of, lots of Toby Keith songs. So I was very terrified. having it in this writing session, because I don't really have anything under my belt like that at all. And I met him, and he actually ended up being very down-to-earth, just sweet guy, very, like, country boy. Like, he's from Eastern Tennessee. He's just a good old boy, and I really enjoyed writing with him. And we wrote this really funny song called You're Not Tequila. And he brought his sense of humor into the write. After that, I was able to record with Eric Torres, who's done a lot of stuff for Jimmy Allen now. He's sort of like breaking out into the producer world. So it was just a really cool opportunity for me, just being able to do that. You know, it boosts my confidence too, because all the time, like when I'm in Nashville and I'm listening to other people's songs or listening to their music, you always get into the comparison game, like, oh, well, I'm not good enough. And I could just be a tough road. So being able to win those contests and have those experiences have just been great for my confidence as a musician.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm sure it could certainly be daunting to write with individuals who have perhaps, you know, placed songs with some more well-known artists or even won Grammy Awards or more types of prestigious awards with their songwriting. Definitely can understand mm-hmm. that. Definitely from a songwriting perspective, because I know I'd probably be like, oh, wow, I'd probably be the same way you are. Be like, oh, yeah, okay. Let's go.
I was so nervous, yeah.
I could definitely see that. So I certainly want to dig deeper, like I mentioned, into your songwriting, but I would like us to pop on a song in just a second. So I know that you have brought with you one of the new songs from your upcoming album that comes out in May. Can you tell us a little bit about the song called Envy?
Yes. Envy's been one of my favorites, and I think a lot of fan favorites too, over this past couple of months. So I wrote it in October with a really good friend of mine. Her name is Tammy Marler. I met her on Facebook. She messaged me and she was like, hey, we should write sometime. And I think we had like a mutual friend in the music world. And so me and Tammy have developed this really good friendship. She's sort of like a second mom to me too. I think she's exactly my mother's age. We have this really good music bond together. And she invited me to Texas. And she's like, come out to my ranch. And it was really cool. It was like Eastern Texas. She had like cows all around her house and like different animals. This really cool ranch in Texas. We actually wrote a lot of songs that week. So we were chatting in her living room one night. And I was just talking to her about Instagram. And I was like, man, I hate going on Instagram because it's just so fake and all you see are like people posting them best selves, and you always just get envious of their lives or what they look like. And so she's like, Envy, that's a song. And then we just kind of wrote that idea down and woke up the next day, finished that song. I don't even know how we finished it. It just happened so fast. I'd say our like inspiration behind like the melody of it was definitely L. King. And then we just wrote that song, and it happened to be one of our best songs.
I'm cracking up that you mentioned L. King, because when I was listening to him, I'm like, oh, you know, she's got that little L. King grit in her voice.
Oh my God.
That is actually very, very coincidental. Yes. I actually got a mix of a little bit of Leanne Rimes and L. King was what I was kind of listening for.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we'll talk more about that in a couple of seconds. So we're going to put that on for everybody. Here is Envy by Mackenzie O'Brien, and this is off of her new album that's slated to be out in May.
As soon as you hit the pillow, words come to you so naturally. You ride shotgun, I take the back seat. I'm tired of looking at your perfect roses. I'm kind of broken and I know it. And me, I think you're my enemy. Why can't I be happy with the way God made me? And me, you can't make me believe. I'm tired of listening. The words always, always deceive. Oh, and me,
no, no, no.
Okay, we are back. So like I mentioned before we played that song, one of the things that really surprised me about your voice is your tone. It's the subtle grit, and it's actually one of my favorite attributes that I listen for and one of the reasons why I was drawn to your music, because it was even in the song that you submitted to me on Reverb Nation. I have the same type of grit in my voice too, and I know that a lot of people, it's very, very difficult to obtain that blend. And a lot of times, even with vocal instruction, at least I know some of the things that I've been through, some of my vocal teachers were always forcing me to get rid of the grit and forcing me to have a more pure tone. And mine has also come out more as I've gotten older. It tends to come out a little bit more, maybe because I'm getting sloppy with pronunciation and sloppy with some of the vocal exercises. But it is one of my favorite attributes because it just sounds so natural. And again, was cracking up because you mentioned Elle King as a little bit of an influence with the song Envy. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, she's got a little bit of, you know, Elle King tone, kind of like a blend with Liam Rhymes. And I love the song. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be a hit for you.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. I hope so. No, speaking of Elle King's grit and having that grit, like, there are a lot of times, too, where I'll be in Nashville and I'll listen to somebody else's, like, songs. And a lot of girls down there, too, they all have very pure tones. And it's different to have a grit, too. And I think that's why it can be helpful, too, in some ways, where you can get up on stage in front of other singers, too, and you'll sound a little different. But what I've learned is that people love it, or they kind of hate it, too. So I know I'm not for everybody, but I am proud of my tone and my voice, and sometimes it does sound like I do smoke some cigarettes, but I don't. That's just my natural voice.
I agree with you. Sometimes awesome. People like it. That's why music is so subjective. What one person likes, somebody else may not. But
right. So true.
In this day and age, you've got to make yourself stand out. And I actually think that having the ability to do the grit, because not all your songs have it. So having the ability to do it when you want to is actually a very, very great attribute to have.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. All right, let's get into the juicy stuff, songwriting. Tell us about your songwriting process.
I have a lot of different songwriting processes, I'd say. When I'm writing with people, it's different because we're on a mission. So if you book a time with somebody, you're trying to finish the song in like a certain amount of time, usually. But sometimes it happens to where like you'll end a session, get back on a different day. But we usually start with a song title or a song hook. Like, for example, Cowboy. That's the name of one of my songs. Hey, I have this idea, Cowboy. All right, what does that mean? How do we write a song about cowboy? Well, let's write it about falling in love with a cowboy in a bar. Or yeah, let's create a song out of that. We usually start like chronologically, like first verse, chorus. Or if we're feeling the chorus, we'll start chorus first. And then usually melody comes second. That's different for when I write by myself. I usually have the melody first because I'm very much stronger as a melody writer. Although I have been working hard and I think my lyrics are getting a little bit better. But it's just, it's practice makes perfect. You have to keep writing songs to get better at it. And listening to other people's songs too for inspiration and stuff like that.
Do you find sometimes that, especially writing with Nashville writers, that it's too cookie cutter?
Yes. Yes. I have run into that. And I think you'll always run into that if you write with certain Nashville people. Nashville's very by the rule book.
They are very, they are very, I don't want to say strict, but I've found
they're always very in the pocket.
Well, exactly. I'm not dissing anybody. Everybody has their own methodology for writing, but I've actually found it very, very difficult, me personally, to write traditional, in the pocket, cookie cutter type of songs. I mean, I can do it, right? I mean, but I get bored very, very quickly, and I'd much rather write a song that's not cookie cutter and is different and doesn't follow the what I would call the Nashville way, which is probably why I don't write with a lot of Nashville writers, just because I get bored because it's always the same methodology. It's very structured. It's very much hook focused, which is fine. It's completely fine. And I know that's what sells in Nashville and what those writers are very well known for. It's not something I don't think I could do on a day-to-day basis just because I would get bored. I don't know. It's just me.
No, I totally, totally understand where you're coming from. And I always run into that too. And it's just kind of frustrating because there are people that I write with sometimes to where we'll just be going over and over the song, just making sure that it's up to par with like Nashville and the Nashville way. But I mean, I'm a firm believer in like music is limitless. I think like just being yourself is the best way too to like get out there and be different. I think it's good to be different. One of my favorite artists, or two artists, I would say, are like Kacey Musgraves and Miranda Lambert. Kacey Musgraves is a different example to where she always does her own thing. And I know when she released Golden Hour, her record label like didn't want to release it because it wasn't the Nashville way. I mean, you listen to that record, it doesn't sound anything, like they couldn't play it on the radio. And then Miranda Lambert's a different example to where she does both. So she'll do like very in the pocket commercial songs, but then she'll also have like her own style in there too. And I just appreciate when artists do their own thing.
I do too. I actually like both of those artists. I'm a picky country music listener. If you listen to my show, I'm always like going, yeah, you know, there's some people I just can't listen to just because it's too monotone. It's very simple, you know, it's very the same. It's almost like every song on the album is exactly the same, just, you know.
Yeah. Different. Country music panders so much, too. Like trucks and red dirts and all of that same stuff you just hear over and over again.
Yep. We need to put some oomph into the country music. No, it's all good. I have my favorites. I have my favorite artists that I listen to, and you know, every now and then I listen to somebody new and they surprise me and I'm like, oh, okay, well maybe I'll start listening to this person. So
yeah.
Awesome. So this is a good place to take a pause and take a short break from a word from one of our partners in podcasting. This is recording artist Lady Dang. We'll be right back on Mixing It with Nikki Chris here on Sim Radio.
Hey, this is Lady Dang, and you're listening to Mixing It with Nikki Chris on the Sim Radio Network. Check out my new single, Wonder Woman, now on Spotify. Sisters in Music, together, we are stronger.
And we're back on Mixing It with Nikki Chris on the Sim Radio Network, and my guest, the very talented Mackenzie O'Brien. We were talking about your songwriting process. One of the questions that I ask every songwriter that comes on my show is, do you have any songwriting tips that you would like to share?
Yes. Oh my gosh. One of the best things that I learned, and I learned this from a very, very good songwriter. He wrote The House That Built Me. And
ooh.
I said, like, do you have any tips for me? Because I was just getting into songwriting. He said, yeah, write what you know. And for a while, I was just really confused. But basically, like, as an individual, you have your own story. You have your own things to tell. You don't have to write about somebody else's life or try to fit in a certain mold that people will want you to have, because you have your own things to say. So I think the best songs are from real life experiences and really digging deep into your heart. And also listen to other music too. That's usually where I get inspired, is if I hear something really cool, it'll inspire me to write like a song like similar to that. I mean, be careful of copyrights too. Can't make it too similar, but that'd be my best advice.
Great advice. And I'm a big proponent of the write what you know philosophy, and also listening to other music. I actually, there's a couple of bands that I actually listen to quite frequently to get music inspiration. And I do I like to tell people too to pick a song that you like or a song that potentially may have inspired you and write a response to it. That's one of the things
I love that.
Yeah, I actually do that quite a bit. I've done that. There's one particular band that I actually like very, very much, and I've used a lot of their songs for inspiration in terms of, well, I like this song, let me write a response to it. And you kind of look at it, this is how I'm interpreting the song, and this is my response to that particular interpretation, and it opens things up as well. So it's great to hear somebody else mention, use other songs as inspiration. But yes, agree, gotta watch the copyright infringement. Definitely need to be careful.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of tough too, because there's only so many notes and chord progressions that you can come up with. So after a while, it starts to become a little bit challenging to make sure that songs are as much different as you can possibly make them.
A little bit.
Yes. Yep.
I think like songs inspire us all the time. So if we're always inspired by different songs, it's hard to make them different enough.
Yes. I definitely agree. And you know what? But that's one of the reasons and a good argument for not keeping things cookie cutter. Because if you keep things too cookie cutter and too structured, you inevitably potentially come really, really close to those copyright issues. Whereas if your song structure is very different or non-traditional, you end up having a little bit more leeway and opportunity for something different.
Exactly, yeah.
That's my pedestal conversation. I'm on my soapbox a little bit. Before we get to the second song that you brought with you to share, I know that you've talked about like writing relationships and co-writing and things like that. I know that you actually have co-written a lot of songs. What is a good writing relationship to you?
Somebody who would listen to your ideas and build you up, but also be honest with you. So I'd say, like, my writing relationship with Tammy, I think we have a really good writing relationship. I think we get each other's style. I think that's very important, too. Like, if you get each other's artistry, sometimes people don't. Sometimes people just don't get it. And it can just be very frustrating writing with somebody. But she's also very, like complimentary, too. Like, I'd say, like, when you're building each other up, that always just feels good. And then when they take your ideas seriously, I'd say as a more shy person, I've come into a lot of writes where, like, people don't take your ideas seriously. And it could just leave you feeling so awful at the end of the write. Like, oh, my God, I'm so bad. Like, why do I ever do this? But yeah, I'd say that's a good writing relationship.
Excellent, and I would definitely agree with you. I think all of us have had good and bad writing situations, and it's one of the reasons why I think a lot of us tend to gravitate towards the individuals that we do know that we have a great relationship with. I know I do that. There's only certain people that right now I'm writing with because I have a great relationship with them, and I think it seems that it's very evident that you do some of the same as well. And, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Excellent. So let's talk about one of the things that I noticed. I know that you did a lot of performances, or you do a lot of performances, especially before the pandemic, obviously. You know, a lot of weekend gigging and things like that. Can you tell us about some of your favorite performances or venues?
I recently got into contact with Ed Warm in Chicago, and I was so excited about that because he's a very good person to know in country music in the area. He's booked a lot of really famous artists. I think he has, like, the Windy City Smokeout. I don't know exactly what it's called, but like a big country fest in the city. And he has a few places, like country bars around Chicago, like Rosemont, that I've been able to play at. And I think those are definitely one of my favorites. They're just so much fun. Like Carol's Pub in Chicago. I know, like, Haley Witters was just there. I think Sunny Sweeney's going to be there. I was just listening to her music recently. So just being able to play at those places and having the fact that those other artists play there too, I think it's just really cool. It's just a cool opportunity.
How about 2021 touring plans? Do you have any concerts in the works or anything going on this year as things start opening up?
Yeah, so I think keeping pretty busy. I usually just book up as I go, but yeah, I think my spring is starting to get busy. Hopefully the summer will be good. Summers are always the busiest time because lots of different shows, like outdoor shows and different fests and stuff. So I think and hopefully I'll be very busy this year. I know last year I did have the opportunity to open for Chris Jansen and Jordan Davis at the Sears Center. It was a drive-in show, which
was awesome.
Very cool. And I hope in the future I'll get to do more stuff like that, but who knows?
I am, like, dying to do one of those drive-in theater shows. I almost think that they need to make those, like, you know, ongoing thing. I know that they started doing them last year because of the pandemic, and I really thought that they were fun and cool, but I'm like, oh, man, that would just be, like, so much fun to do. So
it was weird looking in the audience, and you only saw, like, lights. You didn't see people. You just saw car lights, and you're like, wow. Heard a lot of honking, too. I guess that was their form of clapping.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. I know you mentioned it earlier. We're going to talk about Cowboy, so let's tee Cowboy up. What inspired this song?
I would say what inspired it was Arizona. I know that sounds so weird, but I was planning on going to Arizona to visit my sister, and I've never been to Arizona before, but I was just thinking about it and like the Western imagery and just how I thought it would be like kind of like the Western movies, like romantic and stuff, and finding a cowboy, riding off with them in the sunset, and wearing turquoise. So that's literally what inspired that song. And I wrote that one by myself, too. And I always love when I can write something by myself and really enjoy it because I am my worst critic. So, yeah, that ended up being one of my favorite songs.
It is a very lovable song. I actually like this one as well, too. So we're going to put this on for our listeners. Here's Cowboy by Mackenzie O'Brien.
Sitting at this bar with some Jack. I look to the right and I see you walking in with some tight levers on and a Stetson hat. It's not common for a man like you to be here looking for a few. Cause I've been searching for a cowboy to ride off in the sunset of Arizona with a your turquoise, baby, damsel at your right hand. And I know that they're hard to find. Still time they get a cowboy. So take me out on a starlit night, but watch some westerns in the back. Bat my eyes so you put your arms around me and stay the whole night a little too abstract. Maybe it's just the alcohol that's making me fall for a cowboy to ride off in the sunset of Arizona with a beer, happy in your joy, your turquoise, baby, damsel at your right hand. And I know that they're hard.
Chris, that was Cowboy by Mackenzie O'Brien, and I believe you said that that was released last September, so
yes.
It's available now on all streaming sites. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners before we sign off? How about where they can find you on social media?
So you could find me on my music website, which is www.mackenzieobrien.com. My name is spelled MackenzieObrien. I have a Facebook page, Music by Mackenzie, and then my Instagram is my name, Mackenzie O'Brien, with another N.
All right. Mackenzie, thank you so, so much for joining me today. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm super excited for your new album that's coming out in May. Envy is a fantastic song, as is Cowboy, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of the album when it's out. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in for Mixing It. On behalf of everyone at Sim Radio, this is Nikki Chris. Until next time, keep on mixing it.